In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. Today we have the beautiful parable of the prodigal son, and it's a very deep parable, and you could spend days, weeks, and months talking about each little part, but we're not going to do that this morning. We're going to talk about a little bit. And one thing that this gospel teaches us is that we all have free will. We have choices. We can do whatever we want. God didn't create us like robots. He didn't create us to be soldiers, automatic soldiers that do whatever he says. He created us in his image and likeness, and we have free will. So we can make choices. And the question is, what choices are we making? In the epistle today, we hear that St. Paul say to the Corinthians, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. So he talks about making choices that somehow bring us closer to God and not away from God. So then we have today's gospel, which is really not so much, it could be called three different names. It could be the parable of the prodigal son. It could be the prayer. It could be the parable of the loving father, or it could be the parable of the resentful older son. So there could be three different names for this, but we choose the prodigal because most of us fall into the trap of either son. Most of us do not imitate the loving father, unfortunately. But we have these two sons whose father obviously had wealth because they had property and money. And the younger one decides to ask his father for his share of the property. How do we know that the father is loving? How do we know right away? Right away, he divided his living between them. So in those days, the older son usually got 3/4 or 80% or 90% of the property, and the younger son got chump change, you might say, something not so much. So this younger son was feeling kind of suppressed. Here he's got the older brother who's getting everything, and he wants out. He wants out. He doesn't want a relationship with his brother or his father. Who knows why, but he wants out. Now, the father didn't say, hey, get out of here. He wants him to he offers him freedom to choose. So he says, okay, and he gets his stuff, and he goes, and he spends it on bad living, bad choices, every one of them, right down the line, one after another after another. And once he did that, a famine came up, and he found himself sitting with pigs, hoping that he could eat what the pigs ate, but they wouldn't give it to him. And that kind of woke him up. He said, he came to himself. That's the sentence. But when he came to himself and said, so in all that loose living and bad choices, he woke up. A light went on in his head. And he saw his authentic self. He saw the person that God created in his image and likeness. And what was that person's first thought? His father. He recognized his father's love through his pain and suffering. God woke him up to understand his father's love. And he asked himself a simple question. How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, but I perish here with hunger? He recognized his father's mercy. His father was treating his servants better than anybody else could have treated him. Here he was a free man, and he was being treated worse than the servants that his father had at his home. What a beautiful image that he had. And he didn't think, I'll go back and become a son. He said, I'll go back and say, I sinned against you and God, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Why? Because he recognized his selfishness and his desire to break relationships with his father and his brother. He said, I'm not worthy to be called your son because I did not treat you like a father. I treated you like some guy that's going to just give me money someday. So he woke up, and as he went to his father, he was far away. And as soon as his father recognized his son was on his way home, he had compassion. He realized, ah, my son is back. He must have found out something on that journey that he took. And he ran and embraced him. He didn't send his servants to go get him. He personally, who's the head of the house, ran to his son. So the son went a little ways, and the father went the rest of the way and embraced him and kissed him. He brought him back as a son. And the son said, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And what does the father do? He said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe. The robe signifies royalty. So he is treating his son like royalty. He's his son. He brings him back as his son, not as a servant. And he says, put a ring on his hand. The ring again represents a promise, a commitment. He commits himself to be his father and him as his son again. He recommits their relationship. And he puts on shoes on his feet. Shoes on his feet. In other words, the guy was really hard up. He sold his shoes to eat. And he put his shoes on his feet. He restored him. Most servants don't wear shoes, but he was his son again, so he put shoes on. And bring the fatted calf and kill it. The calf that we wait for to give to God, he donated for his son. And he's alive, and he was lost, and now he's found. He was dead, alive, lost, and found. Okay, celebrate, make merry. But the older son, who was in the field, he didn't like that he heard that his brother was back. And when his father heard that he wasn't going to come, he went out and spoke to him. Because he said, you know, the servant went and said, hey, your brother's back. Come on, we're celebrating. And he refused to go in, and the father went out by himself, again, reaching out to the son. The father was all about relationships. The brothers, the two brothers, didn't want relationships. And why? How do we know that? The older brother said, lo, these many years I have served you and never disobeyed your command. That's not a voice of a child. That's not a voice of a son. That's a voice of a servant. He was biding his time for his inheritance. He didn't care about his father. He would never have said, Dad, I didn't do that and you didn't treat me good. He said, I have served you and never disobeyed. That's a servant speaking. So the son didn't see his father as a father. He saw himself as an estranged human being. You didn't even give me a goat so I could have a party with my friends. Did he ever ask? We don't know. But when this son of yours came and devoured your living with harlots, this son of yours came, this son of yours, didn't say my brother, he said your son that came back, who lost all of our money, because he realized the father gave half to him. Now that was his cut. He wanted 80% and he only got 50. So 30% went to his brother and he wasted it and had a good time. But that's what upset him. He didn't talk to him as a brother. He says, my brother wasted the money and you're treating him better than you treated me. He said, when this son of yours. So now he's saying, I am not in a relationship with you or my brother. And the father says, son, you are always with me, always. And all that is mine is yours. He didn't see it as dividing. He saw the things he had as a tool to bring his children to a higher ground, to think about God. And he said, it is fitting to make merry and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive, was lost and found. He said, you are putting the wrong things first. You are not putting relationships first, you are putting things first. Both sons had the same sin, but one woke up and the other, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen to him. It's left unsaid. You know, relationships are important. They're all that count. Everything else falls by the wayside. You never see a hearse with a U-Haul behind it. Never. Never seen one carrying a U-Haul. Just the body. So when we think about what this life, this short life's going to be, it's not about things and how things are divided and who gets what. It's really about our relationships, our deep relationships with one another. And we cannot have an authentic relationship with another person unless Christ is in the middle of us. Sorry. You cannot have an authentic relationship without Christ in the middle. So our relationship with God must come first. If we do not put Christ first, then our relationships with others are going to be flawed. I don't care if you're husband and wife, brother, sister, child, parent, friend, co-worker. Every relationship that does not have Christ in the middle is flawed in some way. So what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to put Christ first in our lives. If we do that, then our relationships become full and meaningful. Last night, my son got married here in this church, and I was overjoyed. But what moved me the most was I looked around and I saw all the people that I had relationships with, and a lot of those were based in our faith. And I thought to myself, how blessed am I? I didn't think about anything else but those relationships and how blessed I am. And when we look at the cross of Christ, we see it's vertical and horizontal. Our relationship with God is represented in the vertical part of the cross, and our relationship with each other in Christ is represented by the horizontal. So this is the meaning of the prodigal son. We need to think about relationships. Are they authentic? Are they sincere? Are they Christ-based? Are we thinking about things, or are we thinking about others? Let us imitate the parable of the loving father. Let us all try to be the loving masters who allow freedom in others, accept their failings, and then welcome them back when they wake up. Let us be merciful in our lives. Let us show kindness. Let us celebrate repentance. And now that we're heading into Lent, my recommendation is, Father Peter has plenty of time on his hands. It's time for confession, everybody, because that's the first step to our relationship with God being whole. If we confess our sins and clean our hearts, then we can have an authentic relationship with Christ and an authentic relationship with one another. Amen.